Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Marshall Reynolds, CEO and chairman of Energy Services of America, as well as Ed Burns, president of the company. The company trades on Amex, and the ticker symbol is ESA. Thanks for joining us today, gentlemen.
You're very welcome.
Great. Now, starting off, what were the value drivers behind the company's Q3 results, which were particularly strong?
Well, basically, what we dealt with, and this is Ed Burns, when the recession hit late last year, most in the pipeline business was kind of just put on hold. There was a lot of projects that just were either withdrawn or delayed. With the demand for natural gas and with the market somewhat improving in the market in the natural gas area, more projects have opened up, and that's what resulted in the added revenues, which had resulted in the profit.
Well, great. And so talk about some of the company's, you know, different subsidiaries and, you know, how well they fit into the, you know, the business model.
We have basically four subsidiaries. Three were somewhat tied to C.J. Hughes, but we have them separate. We have ST Pipeline is a company that deals primarily with what's known as transmission pipelines, which is transmission pipelines, which are the over-the-road type lines. Contractors Rental Corporation, which was part of C.J. Hughes, does the same thing as ST Pipeline. Then we also have the remainder of C.J. Hughes, which is separate, which is a little more diverse. They do work in water, sewer, plant work for larger corporations, various other types of projects. So it's a little more diverse than the others and not as much of a specialty. Then we also have a company called Nitro Electric, which is basically a company that does industrial-type electric work for automakers, power companies, et cetera. And so how it fits together with the other, a lot of the projects that are done on the natural gas side require electrical work, and they're able to do that. Also, there are instances on the electrical side where they need piping or trenching, which ties into our other companies.
Great, makes sense. And so, yeah, talk about some of the trends going on right now in the energy sector, and how well positioned Energy Services of America is to capitalize on some of the emerging trends.
Well, we believe that we're very well positioned. We have roughly $30 million worth of equipment. At market value, we have seasoned people who can perform the work, and what we're seeing thus far is for 2010, it looks as if the demand for pipelines is on the rise. Energy Services is located in Huntington, West Virginia, which the Appalachian Basin, which has, they estimate, 200 trillion, I think, MCF of gas in it. We're kind of almost in the center of it. So we can reach out to Pennsylvania in the Marcellus Shale area, which is also part of the Appalachian Basin, West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, part of Ohio's in the Appalachian Basin. So we're pretty centrally located, which in pipeline business with the heavy equipment that you have to transport to mobilize to do a project, having a central location, the closer it is to you, the easier it is to do the work. So we think we have a little bit of a competitive advantage in that area. Plus, our people are very, very seasoned at doing work in very steep terrain, which is a great deal of the Appalachian Basin has.
Great. Yeah, certainly, like you said, you know, proximity is, you know, very important. And so what else differentiates the company from other players in your sector?
I think one thing that helps is our diverseness. We can do many things. In addition, you know, we have the capabilities to do the production pipelines, the transmission pipelines, and the distribution pipeline. Now, other people have that capability, but we believe that with our location and with our seasoned employees, you know, the foremen supervisors in our company probably have, on an average, 20 years plus experience. So they know what they're doing, and they have the capabilities, and can just get the job done. And with any customer that we have, the drive is get it done on budget or below and get it done in a timely manner. And we pride ourselves on doing that.
Great, good answer. And so perhaps you can walk us through your background and experience, Marshall and Ed, as well as that of some of the key management team of the company.
Okay. This is Ed. I'll start out. My background is financial. I am a CPA. I started out in public accounting, was in banking for a long time, and along with Mr. Reynolds and some other folks, got involved at C.J. Hughes initially, and am fairly new to the pipeline business since 2002. As to our key people, we have some excellent CEOs. ST Pipeline, the president is named Jim Schaefer. Jim Schaefer has worked on the Alaska pipeline. He's been in the pipeline business all of his life, started ST Pipeline Company in 1984, has had tremendous growth, and just a solid company. Dwight Randolph is president of C.J. Hughes. Dwight's family was part owners in C.J. Hughes. He's been in the business since he was 16, so he's been there 40-some years, just a vast amount of experience. Contractors Rental, the young man that heads that up for us, his name is John Hawley. He has worked on pipelines not just in the United States, but also South America. Has a very, very great track record, great relationships with a lot of customers. At Nitro Electric, Nitro Electric's headed by a person by the name of Lane Ferguson. Lane's been in the electrical side most of his life. Nitro Electric has a long history of projects. They've done projects as large as $200 million. In Council Bluffs, Iowa, they did a job there. So, and then underneath them is a whole cadre of seasoned professionals that we're very blessed to have. Marsha, you want to give them your...
Well, I'll give you just a little background. I mean, Ed and I got together in the banking business 100 years ago when I was chairman of Keith Centurion, and he was the CFO at Huntington Publishing, and I recruited him over the banking business, and within a year, he was the top CFO in the banking business in the state. I mean, my thing is, I put together the biggest printer in the state and the biggest banking company in the state and machine shops and dairies and, you know, an awful lot of different businesses. A friend owned C.J. Hughes. He was the heir, and C.J. Hughes was in trouble, and so I put together a little group and took a, in essence, a controlling interest in it. And Ed had never worked in that industry at all, but I had talked with him, and he was available, and of course, so he went down there and took over that company, was CEO of that company, and had it a little better in a three-year run. I mean, turned it around almost instantly. Ed is one of these people. He has a nose for folks that can get the job done. So he did a great job there, and so we stepped it up and went with this ESA thing, and then made Hughes a part of it. And Hughes is a very important part of ESAC. Only problem ESAC had that I could see is based on our forecast when we had this terrible turnaround meltdown in August. I mean, it sort of set us back at least 6 to 9 months. But as people are getting a little more comfortable with that, you know, we're seeing things roll out, the numbers at the end of the first quarter or the second quarter here, we show a trend, a positive trend. I'm sure that trend will be up significantly in the next quarter. We have, an unusual thing in those losses early on. You know, $1.9 million of that was a loss at S&T that got carried back or carried forward, whichever the accounting term is. But, we're 6 to 9 months behind where we should have been, but we're there, and we're making progress every month. This is a better company every month, and, the earnings are beginning to show it, and will continue to show it, and the trend will continue significantly upward.
Great. And in terms of some of the milestones, what sort of goals has the as the management team set for the company over the course of the next year?
Well, there's a lot of financial and non-financial goals. We are working very, very hard to make sure that while business has been down and there's a tremendous amount of bidding available now, we're trying to make sure that we bid sensibly and not chase a contract just to get the contract only to lose money. So one of our goals that we're working very hard and monitoring, and I think we're doing pretty well on that, is to make sure that we're bidding intelligently and profitably. Internally, with being this new of a company, we have a lot of, we'd call them synergies to go after. One is liability insurance. The companies, particularly in the gas business, liability insurance is very, very expensive. And we're spending huge amounts of dollars between the four companies for that. We believe that by going after a consolidated insurance with maybe higher deductibles or a captive, that we'll be able to save 40 to 50% of what we're paying in insurance. Pretty big numbers. And there's many others like that. I just use that as an example that we're about trying to capture. So I guess our goals are to organize ourselves better, operate more efficiently, and then also once things settle, to look towards more acquisitions of companies that will complement the existing ones we have and add to them. And then ultimately to get some more diversification. We're in the gas now, and it's a hot item, but there are other areas of energy that we think may be opportunities for us. Mr. Reynolds gets calls weekly, if not daily, from potential candidates to acquire. But we're trying right now to get our current operations in a good order before we move to that.
Great. And so, yeah, that kind of answers a lot of my questions regarding some, you know, M&A activities. So what other sort of criteria do you look for in companies that you're looking to acquire? And as far as your growth for this year, will you look to grow the business from within, or will you look for some more of these M&A activities that you just mentioned?
Well, we think we'll have substantial growth from the 2009 September 30th numbers. We will have substantial growth from within just because of the anticipation of what we're seeing today, that 2010 revenue levels will be significantly higher. Plus, we're able to establish relationships and grow those relationships. So we think we'll have a substantial increase in revenues in 2010 from that. There currently are available a significant number of companies that when this market recession occurred, they were doing great, but it's kind of brought them to their knees somewhat and heretofore hadn't considered being a part of another company, are now kind of saying, gee, I'd like for somebody else to have to worry about all how we're going to pay for this and how we're going to pay for that. So they are out there. But as I said, we want to make sure that we have our internal operations as smooth as we can and be ready to take those on. But we could, I'm sure Mr. Reynolds can address this, but there are probably 8 to 10 transactions that you could do pretty quickly, I would say. Aren't there more?
Well, there are. I mean, we started off with this meltdown, and basically that put an awful lot of things on hold with our customer base, but it also put some things on hold for us. I mean, we wanted to see some things check out. Now we're satisfied they we've got pretty positive trends in growing the top line and obviously growing the bottom line. And we need, we probably need another 6 months of that before we jump out and do an acquisition.
Great. And so in terms of investors, gentlemen, do you believe that right now investors understand the general direction of the company?
I don't think so. You know, gee, if they did, they would jump on this one because this dog will hunt.
All right. I mean, are you actively, you know, trying to educate investors about, you know, the new happenings of the company?
We're sitting here doing an interview with some folks, and you know, when those, we're not aggressively out creating stories and telling stories. You know, we want the investors to watch the results, and you know, geez, 6 months down the road when you see the trend that we have continue, then, you know, the numbers speak for themselves and tell a story for you.
That's true. Yeah, it's very true.
We're confident we're going in the right direction.
Great. And once again, joining us today is Marshall Reynolds, CEO and Chairman of Energy Services of America, as well as Ed Burns, President and Director of the company. Energy Services of America trades on Amex, and the ticker symbol is ESA, currently trading at $3.21 a share. So before we conclude, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider the company as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, I guess basically the way we come down to it is we think we have a sound business, we have qualified people, and the energy demands for this country are continuing to grow. We believe that we will be able to provide services to those energy providers in a way that is satisfactory to them, priced reasonably to them, but yet profitable for the shareholders of Energy Services. So I guess that's how I would sum it up.
Great. Go ahead.
I think Ed did a great job summing it up. This is, you know, I mean, where would this business be if we hadn't had this meltdown last August? And the answer is the same place that we're going to end up 6 to 9 months from now. And, gee, had that meltdown not occurred, you know, gee, what would this stock be worth today? And the answer is pretty significant. And so investors are going to do well long-term with this company.
Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's progress and to report on its growth. And I'd like to thank you both for taking the time to join us and to update our investors today.
Very much. We appreciate you.
Thanks.